Amen. I'd like to start out with a joke. Amen. And this is all, you know, usually I have a little bit of time to find just the right joke, but, you know, it is what it is today. Amen. Our pastor, I assume, is back on his way. Anybody heard from Pastor David? Man, I'm assuming that he got done with his painting work. Like I said earlier, he had a couple of people walk off the job. Amen. And left him hanging. And man, and I pray for those two men that did that. It's not the Christian thing to do. Amen. But, you know, not all of us are Christians. Love them anyway. This is called the talking frog. A pastor was crossing a road one day when a frog called out to him and said, "If you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess." He bent over, picked up the frog, and put it in his pocket. The frog spoke up again and said, "If you kiss me and turn me back into a beautiful princess, I will stay with you for 1 week." The pastor took the frog out of his pocket, smiled at it, and returned it back to his pocket. The frog then cried out, "If you kiss me and turn me back into a princess, I'll stay with you and do anything you want." Again, the pastor took the frog out, smiled at it, and put it back in his pocket. Finally, the frog asked, "What is the matter? I've told you I'm a beautiful princess and that I'll stay with you for a week and give you anything you want. Why won't you kiss me?" The pastor said, "Look, I'm only a pastor. I already have a wife. But a talking frog, now that's cool." Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be come to the house of the Lord and joke around and laugh a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. If you turn the news on, amen, you see all this stuff everywhere. Doom and gloom. I like to watch Fox News, and you turn it on there and you hear all this stuff about Ferguson, Missouri, and protest, and killed a guy, and Israel's in a war. Now ISIS is killing people and beheaded American. I mean, you could just get in there and start watching that stuff and be overwhelmed. Amen. When you see all that stuff. Amen. But Jesus said in the Bible that when you see these things happening, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Amen. All this stuff is not any surprise to God. Amen. Does anybody think it surprises God? Does everybody think he's still in control? Amen. God is still in control. I believe this is part of the end time process. We have to go through these birthing pangs, if you will, because God's going to let it get to the point where he has to intervene. He's going to come back and kick some booty and take some names. Amen. Battle of Armageddon. I'm not going to be here. I don't know about you, but hallelujah. I'm going to go out here in a rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I guess the point God is trying to make is you can be overwhelmed. You can be so concerned. You can be wrenching your hands. You can be thinking, "Oh my God, what's going on with this crazy world?" And we've all said it. What is the matter with this world? Every time we hear something stupid or bad. Amen. The problem with this world is sin. Amen. The problem with this world is sin. It all started, it could all, since the beginning of time, Cain and Abel, who killed who? Cain slew Abel. Is that where it started? Amen. Where did it start? The devil exalting himself above God? Amen. Hallelujah. The point I'm trying to make is, this stuff's been going on for a long time, and it's leading to an ultimate climax. Amen. And we're on the winning side. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have a long word today. I believe we've already had church. I believe God has spoken to those who needs to be spoken to. Amen. Hearts have been touched. Lives are being changed. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, start a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the word that you've provided today. Lord, I pray you would think to my mind and speak to my lips, God, and that your word not come back to you void, but it accomplishes that what you sent it out to do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. If you have your Bibles, open it up to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. Amen. Anybody ever heard the term while you're looking there? I thought of this a while ago, or God reminded me of it, but you've heard the term probably, you just can't outgive God. Has anybody ever wondered what that really means? Have you ever really thought of it? Children's church is dismissed, by the way. Amen. I don't normally do this, so if I need help, somebody just nudge me or throw something at me. Amen. I used to hear that term, you just can't outgive God, and I just didn't really know what it meant. And I really didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. It's just one of them things that you hear in church. You just can't outgive God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then finally one day God revealed it to me, what it means. There's not so much you can't give that God can't bless you for. Amen. You can't give so much that he can't bless you. Amen. And we get blessed according to the proportion of our blessing. Amen. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Hallelujah. So don't worry. God's got you covered. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. When Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. When I read those words right there, what spoke to me or jumped out was Jesus went to the temple early in the morning and the people were there. Amen. When we get up early in the morning, or whatever's early to you, we need to seek God. Amen. Jesus spoke to the people early in the morning in the temple, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in an adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we should be stoned. But what do you say?" They tested him. Amen. "What do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. The Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy, does say, you can look it up for yourself, that if you get caught in adultery, both the man and the woman are supposed to die. Not just the woman. Supposed to be stoned to death. It's in the old law. And they throw the woman that's been caught in the very act of adultery. And I've heard people say, and it's a good thought, well, where's the man at? If he was in adultery, there's two. Takes two. Amen. And he acts like he didn't hear. And he stoops down and starts writing on the ground, it says. Does he just not interested? Is Jesus just not interested in our sin? Or was he proving a point? I don't know what he was writing in the sand. I've heard people speculate that he was writing their sins that they were guilty of in the sand. I don't know. It doesn't say that. I have no proof. But it says, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground, on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up, said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." I like the old King James right here. I got the new King James. It says, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Amen. But the old King James says, "He who among you is without sin, cast the first stone." And then look what it sounds like he just incited him. Though whoever one of you is without sin, you throw the stone first. And what's he do? He bends back down and starts writing on the ground again. You got to know that woman was probably freaking out. They're fixing to stone me to death, and you're right playing in this dirt. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, amen, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Today, some of us, like the Lord spoke through me earlier, some of us in here today came in here with some condemnation, with some heavy hearts, with an "I blew it" attitude. I just wasn't good enough. I should have this. I should quit shooting on yourself. "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "I do." No, he didn't. He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." The woman just got caught in the very act of adultery. The Mosaic law said if you get caught in the act of adultery, that's worthy of being killed, stoned to death. You and the guy. And yet Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." Amen. Hallelujah. What'd you do this week that you was condemning yourself for, that you felt unworthy? You don't have to tell me. God already knows. I don't want to know anyway. Amen. But God says, Jesus says, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." It's just that easy. Amen. You've heard me say it before, and I picked it up at a treatment center. And the man, who is a rich man, he owns a big company in Kansas. He said these words, and it just spoke me to my spirit. He said, what you need to do, what you need to do is the next right thing. You need to go do the next right thing. And in my spirit, I said, I don't know what the next right thing is. And God said, yeah, but you know what the next wrong one is, so don't do that one. Amen. And if it was wrong, it just spoke so true to me. Yeah, I know when I'm getting ready to do something wrong, it's wrong. Amen. But I justify it or try to hide it or do it anyway. Amen. Amen. Just go do the next right thing. Amen. And then you do the next right thing. Sometimes the next right thing is not the next easy thing. Sometimes the next right thing is very hard. Amen. Sometimes you got to swallow your pride and go tell somebody you're sorry. You apologize. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. Amen. Sometimes you got to go make restitution for something you've done. Sometimes. Amen. But sometimes doing the next right thing is the easiest thing. Sometimes. It's easier to tell the truth than it is to lie. Why? We all know why. Because you just got to keep lying to cover the lie. And eventually you get caught anyway. Then you really look stupid. So you might as well just make it easier on yourself and tell the truth, face the consequences, and go on. Amen. John 3:17, if you'll turn there, please. We're talking about, I read all that, all those scriptures I read to get to the part about the condemnation. God did not come into the world to condemn us. Amen. Hallelujah. We can condemn ourselves without God. People get so much under condemnation that they commit suicide. Unworthy. I just feel so unworthy, and I've just blown it so bad, and I could just, I'm just going to kill myself. I've wished I was dead a few times. Amen. I have. Especially after I relapsed on cocaine again. After I'd said I'm sorry 500 times and swore I'd never do it again. And when I finally came to my senses, I didn't want to face people again and say I'm sorry again. I didn't want to do it again. Amen. And I know if I have, there's lots of other addicts and alcoholics out there that have faced the same thing. I just can't do it anymore. Amen. Don't do it anymore then. John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Amen. He didn't come to the world to condemn us. He came to us, to the world, that we might be saved. Amen. A lot of people have this ideal conception that God is just waiting for me to make one little mistake, and what I do is going to flick my ear or something. Don't do that. Don't do that. You idiot. Amen. That brought the woman caught in adultery and threw him at his feet. What did he say? I condemn you neither. Go and sin no more. Amen. God's not waiting to punish us. I mean, if he gets to a point, he might have to whoop you. He may have to, but he only does it because he loves us. Amen. He may have been whooped by God. I've been putting time out. I've been whooped. I've been reprimanded. At your level. Wow. Amen. God can use whatever happens to us through our idiocracy to get our attention. Doesn't mean he's done it to us, but through it, we're going to cry out to you. Amen. God didn't put me in prison when I went to prison. I put myself there. The devil did too. Amen. But I cried out to him when I got there. Amen. That's a lonely place to be. When you first get there and you're all alone and it's just you and your thoughts. Ooh, man, we run from our thoughts. We run from the memories. We don't want to think about that stuff anymore. So let me numb it with some alcohol or some drugs. And all of a sudden, you don't have it anymore. It's just you and your thought. And, oh, God, I don't want to feel like that anymore. Amen. But God will let you get there. Amen. He'll let you get there, and he's just waiting for you to call out when you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 9:56. We're going to jump around just a little bit here. Amen. But it's pretty much all New Testament. Hallelujah. Luke 9:56. God loves us, sent his Son to save us, not to condemn us. Amen. I do believe, and we've been hearing this, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've been hearing that we're living in the last days. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. Amen. I think things are speeding up. Should we be scared? Nope. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. Amen. Don't be scared. Amen. Luke 9:56. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Amen. There's another one of those verses of Scripture to let you know God didn't come here to punish you or catch you in a fault, catch you in a sin. Aha! Gotcha! Get your... He come here to save us. Amen. John, turn back to John, please. John chapter 12, verse 47 says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him." Did you hear that? Let me read it again. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him." Then why are we so judgmental on other people, amongst other people? If God is our example, if Jesus is our example, we're supposed to be more Christ-like every day. Amen. I'm not there yet. None of us are. None of us ever will be until we get to the other side. Amen. But our goal is to be more Christ-like, to love others as you love yourself, to love your neighbor. Amen. So on and so forth. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Amen. Jesus is not some big guy in the sky waiting to flick your... I mean, you know, if you're God, just think about it. You could hold the world in your hand. You could just... Somebody be gone. One little... Amen. John 12:48. "The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Uh-oh. John 12:47-48 together says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Amen. What's he talking about there? The word which I have spoken. Amen. We're talking about the words of the law. Some of the words of the law have not been done away with. Amen. Some of those laws still stand. Adultery, you're still not supposed to do it. It's still a sin. Amen. Yeah, it's one of the Ten Commandments. And I thought we didn't go by the Ten Commandments anymore. We don't necessarily. Amen. We go by the law of Jesus now. Amen. Which is what? To love. Amen. We don't have a bunch of shout, thou shalt not. We got to, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's what you shall do. I don't want to tell you what you shall not do. You already know what you shall not, should not do. Amen. You already know what's wrong. And when you're getting ready to do what's wrong, you already know it. Hallelujah. But what you don't know how to do very good is to love others as yourself. Amen. What you're not too good at is loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And what you're not too good at, and that's why Jesus came, was to say, I want you to practice the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Amen. If you want to be treated like dung, is a nice way to say it, I guess. If you want to be treated that way, then you go ahead and act that way. Amen. What comes around goes around. Amen. Jesus came to teach us how to love people. Amen. All of us have been guilty of it. Seen somebody come into the church building dirty and unkempt, disheveled hair, and thought, oh my, what are we going to do with that? They might have even stunk. And you thought, I don't want to this, and I don't want that, right? Amen. Jesus, that's the one Jesus sought out. I want to help that one. Amen. That's one that I died for. Yeah, they're in a bad place right now. Maybe they're a drunk. Maybe they're an alcoholic. Or maybe they're just falling on hard times. But amen, I want to lift that one up. Amen. Because I've been there. I've gone for a long time without a bath. And I know I stunk. Amen. Hallelujah. But look what the Lord has done. If God treated us that way, there wouldn't none of us be here. Amen. Let's go to the Old Testament. I don't have too much more here. Can I have a few more minutes? Deuteronomy chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. God is so good. Amen. All the time, God is good. Chapter 18. And God convicts me from time to time, or reminds me that we all are ambassadors for Christ. If you name the name of Jesus, you're an ambassador for Christ, and you have an obligation to your brothers and sisters. You might not know that they're your brothers, but that doesn't matter. When you see somebody in need, you're not supposed to say, oh, go away, be warm and fed, but don't help them. What good is that? But then we see so many people on the side of the streets holding a sign up that says, I'm homeless and I'm hungry, can anything help? And we get so inundated with seeing that vision, with seeing those eyes, that we almost become hardened to it. Do you give or do you not give? We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because as we all know, there's some out there that are just hustling to get money to support the habit. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. In my Bible, whenever there's a verse of Scripture that has a star by it, it means it's a prophetic verse about the coming Messiah. Amen. And both of these verses have that on it. And I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Don't you find it interesting and intriguing that God said, I will raise up for them a prophet like you? Like you, Curly? Like you, Sonia? Like you, Kimberly? Like you folks. I'm going to raise up a prophet that's like you folks. Like yous. Y'all. Whatever part of the South you're from, however you say it. That's what he's saying here. I'm going to raise one up like you. Amen. This is a prophecy about Jesus coming. Amen. To the earth. And he did it. Was born just like we were. Amen. Went through childhood and puberty and manhood. Bumps and bruises and scrapes just like we did. Amen. And I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And you will put my words... And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it. You can make it personal and say it's required of me. Amen. We're all going to hear or have a chance to hear the gospel. We're all going to have a chance to say yes or no. Amen. God don't make you say yes. Amen. And if you say no, and you die in that no condition, guess what? Now you're condemned. Now the condemnation lies on you. Amen. Acts 3:23. Actually, let's go to Matthew 21:11 first. You may be wondering from that last verse of Scripture, was Jesus a prophet? I know he's the Son of God. I know he is God. But was he really a prophet? Amen. Matthew 21:11 says, "So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the," what? "Prophet, from Nazareth of Galilee." Now Acts 3:23, "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet," what prophet? Amen. "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved, right? Amen. But if you don't receive that prophet, amen. How do you receive the prophet? Amen. You change your mind and don't do what you was doing and ask God to save you. Amen. It's not necessarily a sinner's prayer to lead you in. I believe all kinds of people said a sinner's prayer are not any more saved than somebody that's not saved. Amen. Just because you say the prayer, you got to have a change of heart. You got to receive the prophet. Amen. There's got to be some fruit in your life. You can't just say, "I'm a Christian," and can't continue to go to the bar every night. Amen. Or do drugs. Or cuss like a sailor. Or whatever it was you was doing before you became a Christian, you're still doing it. Now, there might be some, you might have some hang up still, but there's been change and there's growth. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, the word says. Doesn't say we're all changed right now to be complete, but it says we're being changed. Amen. Our thoughts are different now. Amen. When we wake up in the morning, we don't think what you used to think. Give me a beer or whatever. Now, my thought thinks about Jesus. Or God, here it is, another day. I need your blessings. Amen. We're looking to the Father. There's something different about us. Amen. Tony and Vivian are evangelists that we've had here a couple times, and we're going to have them again. Amen. They're from Enid, Oklahoma, and their name of their ministry is Been With Jesus Ministries. Amen. I like that. Actually, it's a verse of Scripture where it says they can tell these men have been with Jesus. I think Paul was one of them. I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. But I like that. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to be so full of the Word, so full of the Spirit. When we walk around, people just know there's something different about that person. I just don't know what it is. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something different about him. Amen. It's Jesus. Because he said yes to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's looking forward to the Oklahoma trip? October 4th, Saturday. Amen. The church van is going to drive. Amen. And they feed you. It doesn't cost you anything to go. You don't have to sing. And you just go and meet some brothers and sisters in the Lord that you wouldn't otherwise get to meet. And they're, I love them Oklahoma people. They got that southern twang. They're just a different kind of people. And they most of them like that blue gospel, bluegrass, country, twangy, tin bucket type Christian music. But it's cool. Amen. So go there and hang out and sing, and everybody hangs out. And just, it's a good time. And I'm encouraging, if you want to go. It won't cost you anything. If you ride the bus, we'll need some little gas money, but if everybody contributes, it won't cost anybody a whole lot. Amen? Amen. And one more verse of Scripture, John chapter 6. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, verse 14. John chapter 6, verse 14 said, "Then those men, when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world." This is the fulfillment of Scripture that we read back in Deuteronomy. Amen. This is going to raise up a prophet from among you. Amen. And now over here in the book of John, this is truly the prophet that was raised up from among us. Amen. Who is supposed to come into the world. This is him. Jesus was the real deal. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn the world, but to seek and save that which was lost." Amen. And he also said that, you know, those that are sick need a doctor. Amen. If you're not sick, you don't need to go to the doctor. Amen. But if we don't have Christ, we're in a fallen condition, we're sick. Amen. And we need Jesus. We need to say yes to Jesus. Amen. I would ask everybody right now to examine yourself. Amen. And if you're playing Christian, I'm a Christian. Amen. If you're just playing, amen, I pray that the Holy Ghost convict you right now. And it's time to realize it's time to quit playing. Amen. It's time for some real change. Amen. If you're still doing the same things you've been doing, amen, you need to question yourself. Amen. Bible says we're supposed to work out our salvation daily with fear and trembling, with awe and reverence. Amen. If you've said yes to Jesus, amen, you know you're saved and going to heaven. If you die right now, that's awesome. But if you have any doubt, you need to get right with Jesus. Amen. Because the day's coming when it's going to be too late. Amen. We're in a time of grace right now, the dispensation of grace. But one day, the Bible says, it's going to be too late. My word's going to judge you. I didn't come to judge you. My words that I've spoke back in the beginning, because I am God, Jesus said, it's going to judge you. And he don't want that to happen. He wants you to say yes. Amen. Hallelujah.